This is Sunday, March 17th. Any other comments?
2019.
St. Patrick's Day.
Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Is it St. Patrick's
Day? Yeah,
it's
a dream. It is St. Patrick's Day.
I should ask this before we turn the tape on, but when is the Ides of March?
Like the 15th.
Mm-hmm. The 15th? Mm-hmm. And what's it mean? Or don't you know?
Middle? I don't know. Halfway through?
Just in the middle.
We're researching it as you ask.
Okay. And, I forgot where I'm at here, but in Romans 10:8, it calls the Bible the word of faith. It calls it the word of faith. The word of faith, which we preach. And then one other comment before I mean, there's a lot of things that we can get into, but it says in, oops, I'm in the wrong chapter here. Okay, in Romans 12:16, it says, be of the same mind one towards another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. It's kind of interesting. Hmm. Condescend, you know what I mean? Lower yourselves to men of low estate.
And I like that line.
Huh?
I like it.
Yeah. I read that to Charlotte, you know, when she first got it. I said, I've not, from my church affiliations over the years, I'm not familiar with that.
No. But it certainly is consistent with Scripture.
Huh?
Certainly is consistent with Scripture.
Yeah.
And be the least, be the most in heaven, be a servant.
Yeah, the New King James says, do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion.
Yeah.
I like that too.
Yeah.
I like that a lot.
Yeah. That is not the I don't know what the word is, mentality or the thinking of a lot of our churchgoers. It's just not. Hmm. Yeah, man. And I mean, been there. I haven't been one that thought that way, but I mean, I've been affiliated with that, you know, that way of thinking. Mm-hmm. I've sent out at least 20 of those pictures, and I have unbelievable response. And for the simple reason that I think God is getting ready for something to happen in the end time. I can feel it. Mm-hmm. Every so often I can just feel it, you know. And not that you go by that, you know, it's not a discernment or something, but God, it says that he's going to finish the work and cut it short in righteousness. Well, righteousness comes from the word right, which is kind of pretty closely related to truth. You know what I mean? And so if all of a sudden we're starting to get the vision for truth, now that is not a church vision. I mean, I've been in the circles, I've been there too long, and that is not a thought pattern of the church. It's like when it says that we are to develop a love for the truth. That's not church thinking. You know, it's like we're going to develop it. When I send these out and put on the back, you know, that what you know, truth is related. You know, Jesus says that if you continue in my word, you'll find the truth. And I thought a lot of people, when they read that, they'll think, well, we already got it. But there will be some that will read those scriptures and see, you know what, we don't really have it.
Mm-hmm. I bet.
And so God has to do that. He has to sort them out and bring it about. But I'm excited. I set out. Well, what happened is I had 20 made, and they were too dark. So we had 20 more made that were lighter. And I sent all of those out. And, to mostly family. I got a big family. And so then I sent a lot of the darker ones out as well. And then I just ordered, had another 20.
Oh.
And there's something about that verse. And Tammy Drescher, Gertzen.
Yeah.
Anyway, she called me right after she got hers. And she says that she started to cry. And or she was broken, and she says, you know what? When I read that verse, she says, I heard God speak. I could hear God speak. And she says, I put it, I set it out where I'll see it every time I walk through the living room. She's got it set right out someplace. And so that's, I have had that same kind of response from a number of my family. And so I know it's one of those things, you know, that God led you to do it. Mm-hmm. You were led to do that. But you could almost be safe if you got a scripture that you want to promote. You can be pretty safe. God's going to lead you to do it. Mm-hmm. you know what I mean?
Well, you can do it. I mean, it can be a scripture, and you're going, oh, that's it. And well, people can look at it and go, oh, yeah, that's a nice scripture. Oh, you know.
But you could misuse it.
Right. God really was in it.
You could misuse it, but...
Right.
But anyway...
Oh, God's reward will not return void.
Right.
Yeah.
So...
I'm sorry. You were contested in the thing, though, for a while. You were in the middle of the project, and you thought, oh, is this the stupidest?
Yeah.
You know, that's just so characteristic of the enemy.
Yeah, I don't know that there's hardly ever been anything I wasn't contested in. You know, it always is. Because then your mind plays games with you.
Sure.
And that's when you step out in faith.
Yeah.
So, I have two testimonies today, one spiritual and one personal. Spiritual testimony kind of, it's a little bit, take me a minute, but I was flying out for this business trip on Thursday. I was supposed to leave at 6 a.m. in the morning, but the plane wasn't there. And the plane was supposed to fly up at 8, but they canceled that plane. Then the plane that came in at 1 o'clock that I was scheduled to be on, I was going to leave at 2, they held and didn't let it leave until 5. And so when it finally left and I make this connection on this flight, I end up sitting next to someone, and you know, one thing leads to another, and finds out this gal is a Christian school teacher who also does travel guides. Tour guides for Christian school kids from California in Washington, D.C. So my natural, I can't let that go. So explain to me how someone in Wisconsin is doing tour guides to Christian kids from California for some place you don't live in. And explains that there's a long background in the story. Well, this gal is obviously a Christian, and you know, one thing leads to another, and I'm sitting here thinking, you know, we've had these discussions like, you know, when do we step forward? And I'm going, well, let's see. There's three flight cancellations, and I end up sitting next to a Christian on the plane. I'm thinking, okay, God, you know, I got a sense that you're maybe in this a little bit.
Hitting you over the head.
Well, you know, but so one thing leads to another, which leads to another, and you know, so we're kind of going down, and she's very open to pretty much everything, you know, and da 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 da, this and that, and I'm going, okay, it's clear, you know, so if I, you know, I've got to throw the home run pitch. So, you know, I said, well, you know, because she's asked, I said, well, you know, I belong to a non-denominational, charismatic, tongue-speaking, demon-believing church. And she goes, yep, yeah, got it. Yep, I believe I taught tongues, a non-denominational, charismatic, and not a problem. So you go, okay, so there it is. And Jesus is a man.
Oh.
You know, well, I didn't say it quite like that, but we kind of went through it and said, what? So then we had a talk, and we had a long time. We went back and forth, and she said, well, no. I said, no. I said, so I, you know, kind of went through something. You know, I said, all we do is we read the Bible. And I said, and you've read the Bible forwards and backwards hundreds of times. But then you read the Bible the next day, and it's totally different because the Spirit of God is in it, and it's inspired, and now it becomes alive. I said, well, we've been doing this for a long time now, and I'm not going to try and convince you of anything. I'm not going to tell you. All I'm going to tell you is go to the Word. The Word is the answer. And so as we're saying, so, well, no, but da-da-da, and we kind of go back and forth, and I say, I've been doing this. I can find maybe 5 or 6 references where someone might be able to twist it and say, no, this proves that Jesus is God. And I found about 500 of them that proved that, no, Jesus is a man, including what Jesus himself said. And so, you know, then, why do you think he's God? And, you know, well, because that's the miracle. I go, well, what's the miracle? You know, exactly. And then, why do you believe in the Trinity? Trinity's not in the Bible. Well, it is too. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. I said, that they don't even call the Trinity. Who made that up? You know, and by the time we got done, this gal says to me, you've challenged me. I'm going to have to go look. And all I can say is that it wasn't me.
No, it was just, wow.
I said the toughest person to convince of somebody having something wrong is a strong Christian who knows their Bible. And all I can say to that person is, does the Bible read the same as it did when you first read it? I mean, are those letters still mean the same thing to you? Or has God's Spirit changed that? And she, you know, and because of that, it's an unfolding revelation. So you think you know, but you don't know until God shows you.
Glory.
And she kind of goes, and I said, I believe that Jesus is a man. I also have to believe and state that I'm convinced that if God shows me that that's wrong, and he has the ability to do that, then I have to be willing to accept that I had a wrong conception. I will be stunned in this case if he does that, but I'm very open to, it's an unfolding revelation. And that's the only way you could explain why a verse that you know now means something different than what it's meant for the last 5 years, because the Spirit's involved. And, you know, very pleasant, you know, I mean, I didn't, not attacking, but I said, this is what God has shown me. And she said she really enjoyed the conversation. And when we got, you know, the flight lands, she gets done, she says, you've challenged me. I'm going to have to go. And I said, 2 Timothy 4 and 5, you know, read that. And I said, that scripture is the same in every translation I can find, and I've looked. I've looked at 30 translations, and it says it so clearly that Jesus Christ is a man. And I said, you know, a couple of the free throws. Guys don't die. Guys don't resurrect themselves. You know, guys don't have bones. I mean, it's the preponderance of scripture. But you know, we've been arguing, sitting back and forth, like, oh, when, you know, and I go, there's no way I should have met this person at all. But it ended up, not only did I meet them on the same flight, we ended up sitting next to each other, and we got an hour and a half to talk. And, you know, well, what do you do? And she tells me, and I'm going, okay. You know, maybe we got to kind of step in all the faith a little bit here. So.
Glory.
So I had that conversation, but it was interesting, the pushback and the comments back. And so I share this is to know what's going to be said is like, well, that's the miracle. You know, her answer is, that's the miracle. How he was born a woman but was a god. That's the miracle. And I go, oh, it also had a thing like, no, he has to be God, or he doesn't fulfill being a perfect sacrifice. I said, no. If a God can't be perfect, who can be? The perfect sacrifice is because he was a man and without sin. That's the perfect sacrifice. You know, and we were very pleasantly conversing, and I'm not sure she was buying all I was selling, but I was putting it out there, and I said, at the end of the day, I don't have to convince you of anything. It's the Word of God. And if the Word of God, you know, if he doesn't reveal it to you, you won't see it. And we talked a little bit about timeline and time. God doesn't have time. And the other thing that I said to her that was kind of struck a chord with her said, so, was Jesus working in faith? Or was he working in knowledge? Well, what do you mean? Well, if he came from God and he is God and he knows, he's not operating in any faith at all. And if he's not operating in faith and he knew everything, then why did he ask God not to have him? Why did he have to be crucified? Why did he ask God if it's possible not to have this happen? That doesn't sound like a God to me. It sounds like a man who is not exactly sure about what's going on. And, you know, like I said, you know, this gal's dad is a minister or something, and, you know, I mean, this was not just a 3-week-old born-again Christian. I mean, she's, you know, she's devoting her life and doing this thing. And so I was thinking a little bit of a hill to climb here, and I thought, well, I literally sat back and said, well, this has got to be from God, because there's no way this should have happened. And I said, so I'm going to, you know, go like Daniel, step in the den and see how it goes. But I wanted to share because it was interesting, the comments she came back and the things that we should maybe know, the tricks the enemy might have to try and sway this argument, you know. Or how is the deception going to be continued to be fostered? You know, what are people going to say? And then, you know, how do you want to, shine the real light on it so they can see the truth? So I had that one, which is pretty cool.
I'm wonderful.
Well, no, it was a long one. I didn't get a chance to even tell Susan.
No.
So it's the first time. And then the second one, just on a personal note, the trip went extremely, extremely well. As good as I could hope for.
Good.
Thank
you, Mike.
So I don't know, I don't know if the two are related or not. Because the trip went well after that encounter in the plane, because that was on the way down. So.
Wonderful.
So it's exciting. Yeah. Exciting on many levels.
Circumstances like that have to have God in them. It has to have God in them.
Yeah. Well, I've maybe made 100 plane trips. I never sat next to someone who is a Christian, non-denominational, charismatic, believes in demons, sitting next to me for an hour and a half, and then, you know, what do you do as a sidelight? You know, well, I take Christian school kids and act as a tour guide in the state and nation's capital. And I'm going, it's just
wow.
Too many coincidences.
Yeah. Oh, God.
So,
God's plan.
God was in that one.
And God's timing.
Yeah.
You know, and because we even talked about the mission fields, and, you know, it says to go forth and talk, and I go, yeah. How many people, you know, have been out standing on a corner and are making it really hard to spread the word because they go off half-cocked and they just try and ram something down somebody's throat? Where's God leading in that? Are they just following this one scripture blindly? There's a pause. So, anyway.
Got a point there.
Well, something to ponder.
Mm.
Hmm? Wonderful. Glory.
Yeah. Excellent. I just love it. I love it. Love it.
Yeah. Right on, brother.
Charlie, do you remember what you were going to say?
He did, yeah.
I thought he did.
I did say it.
Oh,
he slipped it in the front of that.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you.
I deferred to both age and wisdom.
Okay. I thought he said no. Go ahead to you and
Well, we both kind of clutched, and I nodded.
I've got a little testimony. Remember when we prayed for my breathing because I couldn't get my medicine and stuff? Well, I can't. Okay. I went to the doctor and I did the breathing test and stuff, and I haven't been using medicine because I can't get it.
Oh, that's right.
And she said, well, for not having medicine, you're no worse. You stayed stable. She says, let's take you off it completely.
Oh,
yeah. I like that. Yeah. She did give me a pill that'll take about 4 weeks to go into effect. And if that don't work, she'll just take that off, too.
Oh,
so I haven't gotten worse. So why do it, you know?
Yeah, right.
Praise the Lord.
Exactly.
Yeah. Prayer works.
Amen to that.
But the glory in all this is the fact that her regular doctor wasn't there that day. Yeah. She saw another doctor.
He's not there.
A new doctor, who looked at it from a different angle and said one that would say, well, it's working good, keep on it,
Well, he knew my history, but she didn't know anything about me, so she studied it, I think a little more, but she's from Brazil.
So sometimes it pays to see a different doctor.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I'm happy to get off any medicine I can.
Yeah.
Sure. Mm-hmm. For all sorts of good reasons.
So, praise the Lord.
Anybody got any real pressing thing at the moment? If you'll bear with me, I need to read this whole
page.
So this is the gal that runs this... I think it's Midwest Bible Training Center. Anyway, they take in people who are completely down and out. I mean, skid row, whatever. Drugs, alcohol, in all different ages, too, that I've heard testimonies of. So,
isn't that what Blue was?
Yeah, I think
so.
We connected with this place way back for a little while, and kind of did a little interchange for a little bit. But so she gives this. Well, I'll just read what she said, and just listen. I think when I get done, you'll think she been sitting in with us or what, So in the beginning, God. We know the story. Adam and Eve, male and female, were created in the image of God. God breathed life into Adam. Eve, named by Adam, means breath of or life giver. Adam knew his wife. She conceived, and when Cain was born, she declared, I have gotten a man-child with the help of the Lord. Divine Design 101. A man and his wife who is gifted to birth forth life. The devil is a liar, the great deceiver. Eve was deceived because she didn't believe God's words. Out of his love, he sent his son to make way to undo the damage done. The truth is there. The truth is there is only one way to life, and his name is Jesus Christ. Unless one is born again, they remain dead in sin. The devil continues to seek those he can devour, blinding eyes to the truth. He is real, and he comes to steal and suck the life out of mankind. Jesus came that we might have life and life abundantly. What do you think? Is God pro-life or pro-choice? When I read Psalm 139, tears fall and my heart aches, which I would suggest someone read. I did go read it. It's pretty amazing because in there God's saying, before I formed the depths of the earth, I knew you.
Oh, yes.
You know, that type. I cry tears of joy that today I know the truth. Wonderful are the works of our great God who breathes life. I praise him for the wonder of my birth. He knit me together in my mother's womb. His eyes saw my unformed substance, and in his book, all the days of my life were written before they ever took shape. That's it's actually Psalms 139:14-16. My heart weeps for those who are being deceived, who have lost their way and being led astray. There is a spiritual battle raging. We don't war against flesh and blood. The dirty devil does not fight fair, and deception is his weapon. If he is given an inch and the door isn't shut, he kicks the door wide open. What just happened when the celebration shouts went up and buildings lit up in New York after the late-term abortion law passed? Lord, have mercy on us all. Frank Stevens, with Down syndrome, declares his life is worth living. He said this about abortion: I don't want to make it illegal, I want to make it unthinkable. Politicians change laws. I want to change hearts. Praise the Lord. Jesus is one who changes hearts. The truth exposes the lies of the wicked one and sets the captives free. Narrow is the gate that leads to life, and wide is the way that leads to destruction. God has an agenda through Christ that leads to life, and the devil has an agenda that leads to death. Jesus said if we weren't with him, we were against him. You cannot love God and the ways of the world. God gives us the freedom to choose. Choose this day whom you will follow. You cannot serve two masters. Don't be deceived. God will not be mocked. We will reap what we sow. Yes, truth is lacking, and he who departs from evil makes himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no justice. Isaiah 59:16. The devil has kicked the door open, but the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him and put him to flight. For he will come like a rushing stream which the breath of the Lord drives. Isaiah 59:19. Every born-again believer is a temple of the Holy Spirit. A believer takes God at his word, knowing it is truth. It is the truth. Is the Spirit of truth rising up in the body of Christ, putting the enemy to flight? God has given us a voice. We have a choice. Are we declaring our rights or declaring what is right? Are we a voice of truth, or have our eyes been blinded by the father of lies? Yes, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end leads to death. God sets the standard. His ways are perfect and are for our good. They breathe life. He says those who don't heed his wisdom and ways are fools. It seems we fell asleep at the wheel and truth has fallen in the streets. It doesn't go well to drive down a one way the wrong way. To resist the devil and take back the land, may we repent and submit to God, coming into agreement with what he says. Let us take a stand for truth. Pick up the sword of the Spirit and use it. United in Christ we stand, divided we fall. God desires for the lost to be found. May our voices cry out to him for his will to be done. Lord, give us your grace to bring the truth in love, for blind eyes to see the way to life. When the Lord found no man to intervene on behalf of truth and right, his own arm brought him delivery. God will prevail. His love cannot fail. The right way is one way, God's way. And then it just says they're having a graduation, which they're excited about. Thanks be to God for his amazing grace that saves the lost, opening their blind eyes to see the one way. We are grateful to all who have prayerfully supported us and for all our teachers for bringing the truth, the way, and the life. The night is really all about Jesus, though once dead in sin, have been made alive in him. And then it just says, we hope you will come and gather with them.
Amen.
Isn't that pretty exciting? I mean, yeah. I thought, gee whiz, that's getting close. You know?
That's a group that came in here a couple times years ago.
Many, many years ago, yeah. They're down in Iowa. I stopped there twice, I think, on the way to my mom's.
Yeah, what they seem to be a real open, hungry group.
And in all the little newsletters I get, I've never heard Trinity.
They're probably not.
Either they don't make a point of it, but they never refer. I don't think I've ever heard them refer to Jesus as God the Son.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, and they just, man, some of the testimonies, I mean, they really have an effective word. It's a real little, just humble place. But there's a lot of them around. They've expanded to a lot of different areas of the country through this one ministry that this guy started. Jim Bracken, I think his name was. But yeah, I thought that's kind of exciting.
Yeah, mm. Yeah, you know, remember we heard that a man that named Tertullian, he said that if you try to prove the Trinity by the Scriptures, you go mad. But if you don't believe in the script in the Trinity, you go to hell, which is nonsense. It's just a nonsense statement. And
contradicts it.
There are a lot of Trinitarian people that are Bible readers, and I think a lot of those, they don't buy the Trinity themselves.
One of the things I forgot to mention is in this conversation, this gal, you know, we're talking, she goes, well, do you believe the Bible contradicts itself? And I, you know, and I'm going, you know, a little ding, 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 ding. And I went, I believe that the letter of the Bible could appear to contradict itself. And really what is required is a greater understanding of what's being said by the Spirit.
Good answer.
You know,
what was her response to that?
Yeah, she didn't really say much. She kind of let that go, like, okay.
I can't argue against that one.
But that's kind of one of those litmus tests, like, because if you talk to someone not real strong or, you know, someone who's kind of a fringer, they'll go, you know, the Bible just contradicts itself. And they go, well, God, you know, God's plan is perfect. And if it, you think it contradicts itself, the imperfect part of that is you. And that means you just don't have enough interpretation and enough understanding yet. And so, you know.
Or it hasn't been revealed.
But I forgot that there was kind of, I mean, she was, this is all good, but she was walking away making sure that, you know, I wasn't just some nut that had like five pat answers.
Yeah.
You know, da 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 da. And I said, well, no. You know, and so. But
yeah.
I was pretty encouraged.
You just have to pray that the Lord will just anoint her thinking. And
well, I think.
Yeah.
All we're required to do, if you say, okay, share the gospel as you have it, or spread the good news, and say, you know, it's not me. I mean, I also made the comment that, you know, I've been firmly a believer, and I testify that the more I diminish myself and elevate God, and the closer I get to being my will as God's will, the better I'm walking. And, you know, you just...
You can't argue.
And so you just say, so, well, what about this? And you go, well, what do you think about this? And you go, I don't know what to, you know, I don't know what to think about that yet. God hasn't shown me. But it kind of caught me off guard. We're talking like, well, do you think this? Well, wait a minute. that's the old, we can flush this conversation right down on that. So, yeah.
Well, in 1 Corinthians, the third chapter, in the third verse, Paul says, for you are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? That's what we have. That's called church. For while one says, I am of Paul, and another one says, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the opportunity comes, you open your mouth, God fills it. And out comes the conversation.
And that part is never, that part I was always pretty confident in. It was just when is God's timing in a situation.
Yeah.
And when do you say, okay, you know, I didn't hear a still voice like go, but the circumstances were such that I said, well, pretty sure God made this happen. So
he also made a lot of he made a lot of other people uncomfortable waiting for their flights so this could happen. Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, in a funny testimony, the ticket agent was at the gate last night when I came back and remembered me from Thursday and stopped me as we were embarking the plane and said, I want to thank you for being so patient with us. Even my staff commented on you and how you didn't get, you know, throwing books and then, you know, and I take that as a testimony to what God's doing in me.
Yes,
but he, you know, I came back and I'm coming back at 10 o'clock, you know, and that plane was a little bit late, and he stopped me to thank me for not being difficult, and he said, of all the people that got had a bad day Thursday, your situation was the worst. He said, what time did you get to Indianapolis? About 10:30 by the time I got to the hotel. You know, about 10 hours later than I was supposed to. So, you know, I mean, it's bad when you're looking at it and you go, it's only 500 miles. I can drive there and back now. I could be there by now.
But it's kind of a testimony, too, that people can see the difference in you.
Yeah.
Well, that was exciting. I mean, he was a really interesting guy. I mean, he was in, you know, not to digress too far, but, you know, he's had to tell people bad news all the time. And he said the worst thing ever happened to him was some guy pulled a knife on him one time the gate. And I said, well, what'd you do, call 911? And he goes, no, I'm actually a hand-to-hand combat trainer. That's military. And he informed the gentleman that it would be better to kind of de-escalate the situation. And I'm thinking, and then I looked at him, and I kind of watched him, and he carried himself. And, yeah, I think he probably was confident enough, which even made his comment to me on the way back that much better, because he, you know, he was just, you know, but his staff came up and said something, and I go, well, you know, I was, you know, I praise God for what's going on in all of our lives.
Yeah.
Amen.
And I praise God for what he's doing in all of you, because I did also mention Corinthians 14 and, you know, as how services should be, and, you know, so it was kind of interesting, because churches, because she talks that there was a conversation about super churches and how it's to make people feel good and not exactly, you know, no one's learning the Word of God. And
you had a little insight, you know.
This was not a newbie.
Yeah.
I mean, we started talking and I kind of kept going, okay.
And not totally, like, overwhelmed with big church thing, you know, means success or whatever.
No, not clearly not.
Yeah.
But I mean, she works with a lot of super churches, and then she made comments about what's going on, and then that led to, well, you know, super churches really aren't going to be very demanding of you. They're just there to make you sort of feel like what you're doing is what you need to do, and this is all, and everybody feels good.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I said, they aren't preaching, you know, work out your salvation in fear and trembling. You know, and dropped a couple of scripture lines and go, and I, you know, I think that's really where you want it to be.
Yeah.
And then just tied it back into, all I do is I listen to the Word of God, or I follow the Word of God, and when it appears to be unclear, I go, that's because God hasn't told me yet what I need to know, and that led to patience and repentance. And, you know, it was just, like I said, when I went all the way through it, I felt like it's kind of, there was in this opportunity, and, you know, captive audience, and two people on the side of a plane, on a small plane, and the, yeah, and so all I had to do was make sure, you know, and it was just kind of some of the rebuttals were like, well, but that's the miracle. And I go, I don't know that God intended for the miracle to be hidden. I mean, if you have to take something on faith, and the faith is, well, that's just the miracle, I'm going, that doesn't really, how does that line up with the rest of Scripture? Why did he give us the Word then? Yeah. You know, you need faith, but if the faith is in, well, I'm just not going to understand it, it's a miracle, I have to take this on faith, I go, what I take on faith is, this is what I believe, and what I don't know is because God hasn't revealed it yet, and I take it on faith, he will reveal it.
Mm-hmm. In his time.
In his time, and we touched on God not having God doesn't have the fourth dimension of time, mm-hmm. And you know, how long are people dead? How long do they think they were dead? They're going to think they were dead a second. You know, you know, we're the ones that are wondering about the 6 years, 6,000 years. But anyways, too much of me today.
Wonderful.
You know, in that setting in 1 Corinthians 2, or 1 Timothy 2, where it says God's will is for all men to be saved. Of course, I mean, there's hardly anybody to argue with that. Mm-hmm. And then that it's, you know, of course we made it plain by saying, "And God's will is for all men to come to the knowledge of the truth." Well, that is a mystery. It's a mystery, and one of the reasons is because people don't know how to come to a knowledge of the truth. You know, well, I'm going to go to church, but I want to know the truth. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
They don't know how to come to the knowledge of the truth, and so in there is one of the most profound verses ever, and how we happen to get that up, that's a leading of the Lord. But in God's will is for all men to come to the knowledge of the truth. For, meaning it's a conjunction word, but it also means because or whatever. For, there's one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. That's about as plain. How plain do you have to get?
Mm-hmm.
That is the knowledge. That the knowledge of the truth. For, you know what I mean? He wants us to come to the knowledge of the truth. For. There is one God.
Yeah, and the fact that ties truth
and
grace as a man together in the one scripture is not just trivial.
And then God has had great mercy on us and has given us some scriptures like 2 Thessalonians 2:10. You know, what are the chances that we would all of a sudden we'd start to get the understanding of that? Because they received not a love for the truth, because they did not receive a love for the truth, that they might be saved. And all of a sudden, now we got something that's kind of pointed. Without a love for the truth, your salvation is in jeopardy. So if you go to a church and all you do is take in things that are unproven, that, you know, if that's what you do, and then you put your life, you base your life, your eternal life, on unproven things or on scriptural,
on man's interpretation or a doctrine. Isn't supported by.
And that's what we have.
Yeah,
we have that by the thousands. Not just that's not a little thing. And I am so glad. I thank God so many times. Lord, I thank you that you have not left us as orphans. You haven't left us without helping us. You know?
Yeah.
I all the time, Lord, I'm so thankful. I have another little testimony. Carol, whenever water and anything gets anywhere around her, it ends up in her basement somehow. And the other morning, about 3:00, I woke up and just thinking about it, and it was the night that you were kind of protecting the church, you know. and anyway, I started praying for her. And I hadn't heard from her for a couple of days, so I called her. After a while, you know, 10 o'clock or so, I said, "How are you doing?" She says, "Thanks to the Lord, good." It was her comment.
Mm-hmm.
And
she didn't get all.
I said, "No, you sound like your sister." And anyway, she's got a vacuum cleaner, and she got a little leak through a couple of the cement blocks, and so she vacuums it up, puts it in a pail, carries it up her stairs, and throws it outside. And she says, "I found myself carrying pails of water upstairs saying, 'Thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus.'"
And I still sound like her sister.
So the Word of God is doing something. Uh-huh. It's working on her.
Yeah.
And is I thought, I told her, I said, "You sound more and more like Joanna every day."
Mm-hmm. There's a scripture in 1 Thessalonians 2. "And we also thank God continually because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as a human word, but as it actually is, the word of God."
Glory.
"Which is indeed at work in you who believe."
Wonderful.
Amen.
I was sitting here thinking, what would I say if I shared, like, sometimes people, oh, what church do you go to, or whatever, you know? Oh, Lancaster's calling out in Halleck, yeah. I says, of course, it's not very big right now. I mean, there was a lot more people there before, and then they kind of, now it's like, well, we started, some of us, getting a love for the truth, and that didn't seem to sit with everyone else. So we are small in number now. Mm-hmm. You know? And that wouldn't make me feel embarrassed or anything to say that.
No.
No.
Because it's the truth. You know? Mm-hmm. If you don't have a love for the truth, you won't stay in a place that wants to have a love for the truth.
Yeah, I challenge a scale. I said to your appeal of super churches, I said, you know, where Scripture says to seek His Word, or meditate on His Word, night and day. It doesn't say, you know, and she, you know, kind of flipped out, well, you know, you're running the race. And I go, well, no, it's not a race. A race is a start and a finish. Up to your last breath, you're to seek Him. Mm. That's not a race. That's, and the Scripture also says that that's your just... That's your just due. I said, that is not the thing that drives in the masses. Hey, by the way, you're going to come in and do this, and you never get done until your last breath. That is not how you get 25,000 people showing up on Sunday. Because that flesh goes, I don't want any part of that. And that's just hard.
I really think that that God had everything happen for her sake.
Well, you know what I mean? I'm just happy she didn't go away mad and said, you've challenged me. That actually made me feel better.
Oh,
that
yeah.
She didn't go, you crackpot, you, yeah. You know, you,
well, you, no, you, don't
you,
want
you Bible thumping zealot, you know, get out of here. She kind of went, you've challenged me. I'm going to, I mean, she obviously knew her Scripture,
yeah.
But I just was able to say, you know, and I said, it's not me. I'm not trying to defend what I believe. I'm trying to defend what God has shown me, what the Word says.
Yeah.
So I'm not trying to convert you to anything but following God, knowing God's Word. And that's what won me.
Yeah.
I mean, that's when I heard it like that, I said, well, how can that be, well, to paraphrase, how can I be fooled again if that's what I do? I mean, because we kind of got fooled. Mm-hmm. And so, but if that's what I do,
yeah.
True.
Mm-hmm. Well,
everybody has to leave, don't they? I mean, the, like,
oh, it's 12.
You have to leave. I know you have to leave.
Yeah, I have to leave a little bit.
Can I just ask how Janice is? I
tried getting hold of her this morning.
Oh, okay. She's still in the hospital?
I don't know.
Oh.
I tried the hospital number, and I tried her cell phone number, and I got no answer. But we were up there Friday. And everything was doing, she's doing better. She's improving.
Okay.
But they didn't know if she kept improving, if she'd be able to go home Saturday or not. So I'm not sure where she's at.
Okay.
I did not. I tried this morning, though, before
she
we came, just to find out where she was at,
the
how
healing.
She was doing. But her...
It's stomach.
Yeah, well, it's got to do with her blood, too, because they got to build up her red blood count.
Yeah.
So.
And her diabetes and,
you
know.
Yeah,
so
that's
just
a
lot
more
of
serious,
stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I can't give you an updated answer.
Okay.
She kind of hinted that she hasn't been doing really well since Dan passed.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, it's a process
either.
To go through.
Yeah.
She
probably
hasn't been eating right, so her diabetes
involved.
Is bad. And
I think dehydration is going to affect your blood cells.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
But she was bleeding, but it wasn't an ulcer.
Yeah.
So.
Internal.
She's doing better. She was improving. And her blood count was going up.
Okay.
And they said Friday, we were there when the nurse came, or doctor came in, and says, if it keeps improving, maybe we'll look at you going home tomorrow.
Okay.
But I don't know if that happened or not.
Well, and thank you for being such good folks to go and check on her and know that she's loved by people. That's important, too.
I know she has a lot to do with Betty, and I don't know who else, Leanne, Julian.
Lene.
Yeah. She has a lot to do with them.
Yeah. But Betty's not around, though.
That much.
Love you, everybody.
Okay.
God bless you.